gets his first full sack of the year and brings Rodgers down, and it will be fourth down.
Let's see if Rodgers is okay, Mike.
He stayed down there for a second at the back end of the play. And now Seneca Wallace will take over at quarterback for Green Bay, with Aaron Rodgers being looked at in the locker room.
Uh-oh.
That's not good.
It took 10 weeks. Double-digit weeks it took for us to have this kind of impactful injury in the fantasy world. Welcome into the podcast, everybody. Week 10 in the NFL is here. This is the Fantastic Two. We are the Fantastic Two. I'm Ryan. That's Cody. Cody, that one stung a little.
Having owned Aaron Rodgers in a keeper league for the last 3 years of perfect health and glorious times, having him go down week 10 when I'm second in my league in points, oh, it hurt, Ryan. It hurt. I already had to make a trade. You know me, man. I can't just lay in the week. I have to make a move. Things have to be done.
Well, the other option was picking up Jay Cutler off the waiver wire.
And I'm not even sure he's going to start.
I think that trade worked out for you.
I had to give up Jimmy Graham, and you know how much that hurts.
It does hurt. It does hurt. Well, we'll get into the Aaron Rodgers injury a little bit later on in our fantasy hot seat segment this week on the hot seat. Harley Schultz of LeagueSafePost.com. So check that out. As always, you can reach out to us on Twitter at Fantastic2FF. You can also hit us up on Gmail, Fantastic2FF@gmail.com. Catch me at RDub45. Catch Cody at CodyBTap. Before we dig into this show, though, Cody, last week we had our first dispute of lock or shut him down. I got to give you credit. You were right about Josh Gordon.
He's just a hard guy to predict. And listen, was I 100% confident he wasn't going to have a big game? No. It just felt like the way his season has had the ebbs and flows, I felt like he was due for an off week.
Another player we'll talk about with Harley Schultz coming up here in about 10 minutes. But as always, the question we ask to start off the fantasy show is...
Who's playing the Jaguars this week?
A fire could get hurt hanging around here. Heavens to Murgatroyd. Why don't you come right out and say it? You're spoiling for a fight. Begad. My hood's been winked.
Are we ever going to stop picking on them?
No, never.
I mean, they're 0-8. This week they've got the Tennessee Titans. And that defense is not a pushover.
The Titans, to me, are just a team that is adrift with their offense. But you're right. That defense is not a pushover. And when you have two teams slugging it out in a pillow fight like this one, I really think the Titans have the upper hand because at least one facet of their game has clicked all year long, whereas the Jags are yet to put together a game where even one side of the ball looked good.
Well, and you have to wonder if Chris Johnson found it last week, and then he gets to go up against a team that literally everyone wants to run against the Jaguars. And Chris Johnson gets the opportunity. It's again, listen, I have Chris Johnson. I might have some better running backs. I'll probably still just put him in the lineup because, as Ryan and I do this segment every week, and it matters, who's playing the Jaguars really matters.
Yeah, and it just sucks that you have to have the Titans, a team that doesn't have any real good fantasy weapons
there.
No, it's
like, are you considering Kendall Wright? But there's a lot of buys this week. I think you can make some plays there.
So, yeah, the Titans are playing the Jags. Their defense needs to be started. Sean Green might even warrant a start. A couple of maybe Nate Washington sneaks out there. Who knows?
Ooh, Nate Washington. Think he gets a deep one against the Jaguars? That seems possible.
A Nate Washington sighting? Yeah. All right, guys. Well, let's start off the show by going and sifting through the wire. And we start off this week. I don't want to start off with the obvious one. I don't want to talk about Seneca Wallace, but screw it. We're going to because I just said the name. Cody, I'm not interested, man. Thanks.
No.
I'm good. I'm putting my wallet up. I'm not buying.
I just told you I traded. I didn't just say, okay, I'm down Aaron Rodgers. Oh, cool. I'll just pick up Seneca Wallace and my problems are solved. No, they're not. And listen, Matt Flynn had one big game the last time Aaron Rodgers went down. That does not matter. I mean, you just cannot trust a guy that's been in the league as long as he has and hasn't secured even a backup job all the time. Like, the second Rodgers go down, they start talking about Flynn, even though the Packers claim they're not interested. It's just not a guy I'm willing to pick up.
I'm not willing to go out and get Seneca Wallace either, but a guy I am willing to put maybe half of my eggs in his basket, I guess, is going to be Case Keenum. Now, it's hard for me, like I said, to put my stamp on him after two games, but he's been good. 350 yards, three touchdowns versus Indy in primetime this last weekend. He's got a favorable schedule coming down the road, two meetings with those Jacksonville Jaguars still up on the plate for the Texans. Maybe they're starting to turn the corner with that offense a little bit.
Yeah, it's possible that they are. I mean, Case Keenum actually looked pretty good in that game. I don't see any reason why he's not at least a bye week kind of start quarterback for you right now. A guy that's every week we go into these guys that look like they're maybe getting healthy. Who's the guy? Andre Brown. He says he's 100% healthy. Now, they haven't announced that he's going to play in Sunday's game or not, but they say he's 100% healthy, and he's owned in less than 1% of a league. And if he has a chance, and he does have a chance, to be the starting running back there, we talk about it. Harley will talk about it later. If someone is a starting running back for an NFL team, they deserve to be owned.
Well, and he made my list this week, too. But this was my qualifier for Andre Brown making the list. He's the best they got.
Yeah.
I mean, who are you going to give touches to? Peyton Hillis? Brandon Jacobs? I mean, they've both shown sparks this season when they were needed. When their number was called, they stepped up to the challenge. But I don't see them having consecutive big games or being a huge focal point of this offense. Hell, you could almost argue that neither of them truly know this offense, not even half as well as Andre Brown does. The one thing that concerns me, though, the guy is injury prone, and coming into the season, that was a big concern. David Wilson's stock shot up after he broke his leg. He's coming off of that broken leg, so you don't know if there'll be any residual effects from it. Maybe he'll have a mental aspect of it to where he doesn't want to drive through a hit. That being said, though, he really is the best option they have. And he's pretty good at catching the ball out of the backfield, something that the Giants like to do a lot.
All right, here's another guy for me, Ryan, and you can look forward to some more stats. I'm going to be brief on this. I'm going to tell you a little bit about this guy in the lock segment, so here's a key. Keenan Allen. He's owned in 57% of leagues, and when I tell you his numbers, you will be astounded.
Well, we'll go ahead and hang off on that for a while. That's going to do it for the waiver wire segment this week, guys. Let's move it on to our locks of the week. Cody, let's start it off with you. Who you got at quarterback this week?
Again, we try to go away from the obvious and the guys you're a little scared of. I'm going back to RG3. Last time I put him in my lock segment, he performed. I haven't put him back in since because I've been a little scared of performance. Still, he's only the 14th best quarterback on average so far, but he does get the weak NFC pass defense. I still think he's going to find it. 29th against the ranked pass defense this week, and I just think 23.5 points a game against quarterbacks. I mean, that's what they're allowing. It's an amazing stat. And then, even McCown had two touchdowns last week. I just happen to think RG3 will be good again. I don't know why. I feel like it's coming.
Well, it's always good when a rushing quarterback gets to face off against a bad passing offense or passing defense, because not only do you know that he will start to accumulate some of those passing yards and maybe even a couple of passing touchdowns, he's at least still going to provide with the legs as well. So he has a better option through the air. He's probably going to be as consistent on the ground. I like RG3 this week. My guy that I'm putting the lock on this week at quarterback, and we talk about no-brainers, Cody, Drew Brees, facing off against Dallas. And Dallas, they're just terrible against the pass. They're dead last in the league facing quarterbacks. Four times this season, they've given up 400 or more yards, and they've had multiple passing touchdowns in four games this season. And these huge games, Cody, they've come against San Diego, the New York Giants, the Denver Broncos, and the Detroit Lions. These are teams that are very similar with offensive approaches as the Saints. So when you look at this, and we say, we don't like to pick the no-brainers, but Brees has had multiple scores in all but one game this season, and he's been held under 288 yards just once all year, Cody. He's a no-brainer for 300 yards, and I think at least two touchdowns out of Brees.
What Ryan's trying to say here is don't have one of those let's get cute weeks. Like, ooh, I like this matchup a little bit better because Dallas has been better on defense. No, it is Drew Brees. The numbers support the fact that he's going to be very, very good. Who do you have at running back?
This week at running back, I'm going to go with my number two team, the Lions and Reggie Bush. They get Chicago this week, and despite having just four total touchdowns all year long from Bush, he's been in a very effective fantasy option. He's a dual threat, and he seems to be a lock for a 100 all-purpose yards each and every game. He's the type of running back that I really like to own because he's never really taken out of a game. If the team's forced to pass, he's still a part of that. If the game's out of reach and they're trying to run, he's a good in-between-the-tackles runner, as we've seen, and he's collected right around 18 to 20 carries in the games that he's been healthy. So with that being said, Chicago has given up 449 yards and 7 touchdowns to opposing running backs over just the last 3 games, Cody. I think it's time for Bush to get his slice of that pie, and multiple scores feels like a solid bet in this one.
Ryan, I disagreed at wide receiver last week, but we agree this week at running back. I saw what Eddie Lacy did last week. He looked good. The Bears defense just didn't look very good. It's ranked 26th in the NFL against opposing running backs. And for the first time all season, Reggie Bush had 20-plus carries in back-to-back weeks. I think they're going right back to the well. They're going to hit Reggie Bush, and he'll be a big fantasy performer for you this week.
Yeah, health looks like it's no longer going to be a concern, at least in the immediate next couple of weeks. All those nagging injuries that Bush had are finally starting to fall to the wayside, and he's going to have some productivity. Let's lock down some wide receivers, Cody. Who you taking?
The aforementioned Keenan Allen. Only owned in 57% of leagues that I had mentioned before. You want to know what his last 4 games are? 17 points, 17 points, 7 points. A little disappointing, followed by 19 in his last 4 start. He is Phillip Rivers' favorite target. Oh, good news. He also gets to play Denver's shaky pass defense. Denver, in the 3 road games, has allowed 668 yards and 6 touchdowns to opposing wide receivers. Start first, pick up Keenan Allen, and then start him.
Yeah, it's confusing to me, especially how many injury concerns they've had there this season, that these guys aren't falling onto more teams. Eddie Royal was a guy who had 3 solid weeks in a row. People picked him up, started showing some signs of wear, started to decrease.
Slow down a bit.
Yeah. People just dropped him. He's an afterthought in a passing attack.
3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's quit doing it, fantasy owners. You piss me off. Ugh.
Who are you looking at wide receiver?
Sorry, I had to recoup there.
That's okay.
All right. Antonio Brown is my lock at wide receiver this week. He's facing Buffalo. And look, the targets just keep coming for this guy, and so do the receptions. While he's only touched the end zone 3 times this year, it seems like, that shouldn't be an issue in this game.
No.
The Bills are dead last in the league versus opposing wideouts and have given up multiple scores on 6 different occasions. I think you pencil Brown in for his usual 5-8 and go ahead and throw a TD on top of that.
A guy who's had a very slow year fantasy-wise and Dwayne Bowe looked great against Buffalo. That should tell you something right away. Lead guys are getting open against Buffalo and they continue to score. For me at tight end, we move into the next. I'll take a shot in the dark. Every week it just seems like, here's someone at tight end I think will do well. This week it's Charles Clay. Middle of the road tight end defense are ranked 18th against tight ends is the Buccaneers. He has been a top 10 tight end, despite the fact whether you think about him that way or not. If you're not paying enough attention, he's been the 8th best tight end in ESPN leagues. It's been 2 weeks since he hasn't found the end zone, but in the 3 weeks before that, he found it in every game. I just kind of happen to think things kind of run in a pattern, and after a while, Clay will find the end zone again. I think it'll be this week.
I like it, and I kind of took the same approach with my tight end that I locked down. Locking him down this week, Antonio Gates. And as you mentioned, Cody, and again, let's just reiterate this, you must throw to beat the donkeys. And I'm not sure if we are clear on that yet or not, so just remember that at all times. You have to throw to beat Denver. And on top of that, they can't defend the pass. We've talked about this a lot. Cody talked about it with his wide receiver. I'll give you some stats for the tight ends. Denver has given up 100 yards to opposing tight ends 4 times this season. And Gates is heavily used in the San Diego passing attack. I don't think you should even be questioning that at this point, given as much health concerns as their wide receiving core has had. 5 or more receptions in 6 games this season from Gates. It looks like he's going to keep that right on going through this week. Gates will return to the end zone as well, since something he hasn't done since week 4. And I really feel that the Denver Broncos will have a huge trouble stopping Antonio Gates. You got nothing to say about Antonio Gates?
No, right? I think it's good.
All right, guys. Well, that's our locks for this week. We'll move them on to our shut them down segment here after we talk to our man Harley Schultz in a segment we like to call the Fantasy Hot Seat. And on the Fantasy Hot Seat this week, Harley Schultz, give him a follow on Twitter at NuclearHarley. You can catch his work. Well, he's a busy man. You can catch his work on LeagueSafePost.com, also post to TheHuddle.com and FantasyVictory.com. He's Harley Schultz. Harley, thanks so much for joining us this week.
Hey, thanks for having me on here today.
All right, man. Well, let's just dive right into this. I don't know if you heard, but apparently Aaron Rodgers hurt himself this last week, out with a broken collarbone. Green Bay being a little secretive about the injury. The pack kind of beating around the bush about a vague timetable, maybe 3 weeks. But typically the recovery time for a collarbone injury is 6 to 10 weeks. Without Rodgers, who stays fantasy relevant for that Green Bay offense?
Well, you'd be surprised at how many players actually will remain fantasy relevant in that offense, even without Aaron Rodgers. When first I thought about this, I thought, oh my God, this is Aaron Rodgers. This is the heart and soul of the Green Bay Packers. What are they possibly going to do without him? But then I looked at their upcoming schedule, and the schedule is so genuinely easy, at least over the next 4 weeks, and that's kind of what they were saying today, is that he will likely be out 4 to 6 weeks. He might be back for the Thanksgiving game against Detroit. I don't think that's going to happen. But even if he misses the Detroit game and comes back 5 weeks from now, the games that he will have missed will be against the Philadelphia Eagles, the New York Giants, the Minnesota Vikings, and the Detroit Lions. Four teams that are really, really not that good defensively, particularly against the pass.
Harley, do you think some of those guys are worth targeting, guys that are going to get worried that these Packers guys aren't worth having, and maybe you can land a guy that just got healthy like James Jones?
I would love to. Actually, James Jones is one of the guys I'm not super, super high on, although it should be pointed out that in the last game that Rodgers missed, which was the New Year's Day game back in 2012 when Matt Flynn came in and threw for 6 touchdowns and over 500 yards, in that game, James Jones is actually very, very active. He caught a lot of passes from Flynn. I think he ended up with 1 touchdown there. Jordy Nelson in that game actually caught 7 passes and ended up with 3 touchdowns. So we know that both of those guys will still be active in the passing game, particularly since Randall Cobb is nowhere to be seen, not going to be seen again this year, and JerMichael Finley won't be seen again this year. Someone's going to have to catch the passes from Seneca Wallace, and right now it looks like it's going to be Nelson and Jones. So Nelson, I like a lot going forward, particularly with that schedule. And the Eagles, 32nd against the pass. The Giants, 17th against the pass, and it's actually not even that good. It's been weighted up a little bit due to a couple of recent performances. The Vikings, 29th against the pass, and Detroit, 24th against the pass.
Wow, well, let's talk about a team on the opposite side of the coin. You're saying the Packers are super talented. I'm a little curious about a team that is talentless at some spots. It's the Jaguars. And Justin Blackmon just goes down. Does this bring any hope to owning Cecil Shorts?
Not at all. Not at all. I own Cecil Shorts in some leagues. I really wish that this would be. But when you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, Chad Henne has thrown for 3 touchdowns over 7 games. I'm pretty certain that Blaine Gabbert could throw for 3 touchdowns over 7 games.
Pretty sure Ryan here could throw for 3 touchdowns.
I don't know about all that, but still.
The schedule coming up for Jacksonville, it's not going to get any easier either. Cecil Shorts is really the only proven weapon on the outside for them. I know a lot of people are rushing out to pick up Mike Brown this week. I've actually picked him up in a couple leagues too. I like what Brown brings to the table. I think he could be good. But let's look at who Cecil Shorts will be covered by over the next few weeks. Twice, he's going to have to go against Planet Alteron Burner in Tennessee and the 7th-ranked pass defense.
Ugh.
He has to face Patrick Peterson in the Arizona Cardinals secondary. He's going to get 2 matchups against Jonathan Joseph and the Houston Texans. They have the 8th-ranked in terms of wide receiver touchdowns, and he also gets to face Cleveland and Joe Hayden. And no one wants to go and play a game against Joe Hayden right now.
Joe Hayden, the new Revis this season. He's really starting to have a breakout. Let's stick with the wide receiver position. Let's talk about another good wideout on a bad team. Josh Gordon, he's been surprisingly effective for many owners this season. I won't say surprising. A lot of people thought he would be this guy this season, but he's produced with 3 different starting quarterbacks. He's still shown a little bit of inconsistency. What should we expect out of Josh Gordon for the rest of this year?
Well, if we look at just how he's performed so far this year, despite having the 3 different quarterbacks, he's averaged 9.4 targets, 5 catches, and 89 yards per game. That is legitimate wide receiver 1 territory. But much like Chad Henne, and the Jacksonville Jaguars with Cecil Shorts going up against hard secondaries coming up. Gordon has a bunch of tough matchups too. First off, this week they're on bye, so you're not going to get anything from Cleveland. So that's week 10. Week 11, they face Cincinnati. Cincinnati's got one of the best cornerback duos in the league. Even with Goloss and Leon Hall, they're still very, very tough in the secondary. Week 12, they face the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have given up, I believe, 5 touchdowns to wide receivers on the season. Week 14, they have a very tough game because Aqib Talib will be back for New England by then. Talib should have shut down everyone he's faced this year. Their only easy matchup is week 13 against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they're actually not that bad against the pass, mainly because no one bothers to pass against them when you can run the ball so easily against them. Week 15, they have Chicago. Week 16, they have the Jets. And neither of those two games is a certain must-start for Gordon. And when you look at the fact that Jason Campbell just suffered some bruised ribs last week, not 100% certain he's going to start this week. Last man standing there at quarterback is Brandon Weeden. And in the 3 starts that Brandon Weeden has had that Josh Gordon has been active for this year, Gordon's only averaged 4 catches and 78 yards, which both are below his season averages. So I'm thinking Gordon's still probably a wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 the rest of the way, but he's no longer that automatic wide receiver 1 production.
Apparently, Brandon Weeden, the Josh Gordon kryptonite, and you talk about Aqib Talib, the only guy to figure out the Jimmy Graham riddle this season. So you definitely got to start worrying about any matchup against Talib. Let's talk a little bit about that Denver backfield. John Fox expected to miss several weeks following his heart surgery. Jack Del Rio filling in as the interim coach. Now, that Denver backfield was already hard to predict, but John Fox has been one of the biggest proponents of keeping Moreno as the lead back. You think Del Rio is going to make it any easier, or is he going to make it harder on fantasy players figuring out that backfield?
Well, I was doing some research on Jack Del Rio when I found out that he was going to become the interim head coach. I found something really, really interesting about him that I didn't know. He actually played on a collegiate baseball team with Mark McGwire and Randy Johnson. That's totally off subject to this, but I thought that was a really interesting fact on Jack Del Rio. But as for what he's going to do at the backfield in Denver, I see no reason for him to change what's working for them in Denver as far as running back, putting in a running back by committee sort of formula with getting Monty Ball more carries or getting Ronnie Hillman back out there. In reality, what I think we're going to see is that Del Rio is going to be more of a figurehead coach on the sidelines. And the real coach is going to be the player coach on the field, and that is Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning is going to want his best pass-catching option and his best pass-blocking option out there on the field, and that's Knowshon Moreno.
Well, you know, let's continue on the running back theory because, you know, they have been hard to come by this year, and Mike James blew up against Seattle, whose run defense all of a sudden is reeling. Is he worth picking up, or is this just really like a seat holder for Doug Martin coming back either this week or next week and just going to take his job right back?
When Doug Martin comes back, he will get the job back. There's no denying that. Mike James looked extremely good last week, but Mike James is horribly undersized to be an every down back in the NFL. Yes, he looked good. Is he worth owning right now? Certainly. With the number of running backs who are hurt right now, or the number of running backs who have been out of their job or have been reduced to a running back by committee, anyone who is getting starter snaps deserves to be owned in any fantasy league. This week we've got six teams on bye. And with those teams on bye, there's going to be teams in need of players. Guys such as Rashard Jennings are being picked up off the waiver wire right now because Darren McFadden's injury. If Mike James isn't owned in your league right now, he should be owned. And he should be played, but rest assured that when Doug Martin comes back, he will be the starter. I just don't know when that's going to be. I think a lot of what they're saying right now in Tampa is he could potentially play this week, he could potentially play next week. The fact is, he has a torn labrum in his shoulder. I don't know about you. I have never had a torn labrum in my shoulder, but I know that sounds extremely painful. And I can only imagine that he's not going to be playing or playing at 100% at all again this season. And even if he does come back and he does reassume the starting role, one hit could put him on the shelf, in which case it'll be very, very just for you to keep Mike James because when it gets to the playoffs, you're going to want someone starting for your team, and James might end up being the starter come playoff time.
Well, you bring up those bye weeks. Some of our listeners have asked this question because the Chiefs defense, and we're here in Kansas City, a lot of our listeners based in Kansas City, that Chiefs defense has helped carry him to quite a few fantasy victories over the year. Chiefs on bye, the Browns on bye. That's two of the top seven defenses. Give me a couple of defenses that could give some owners an effective spot start.
There's actually a bunch of surprise defenses this year, what I found. In the Dallas at New Orleans game, I actually like both ends of this. Now, when you look at this, you think, oh, these two teams can be a high-scoring affair. But Dallas actually is leading the league over the last 3 weeks with 9 takeaways. And most defenses reward points for taking the ball away. That's what Dallas has been doing. Those 9 takeaways can certainly come into play against a team that throws the ball a lot in New Orleans. On the other end of the coin, New Orleans has allowed the 5th fewest points this season. A lot of that is at the hands of former defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, a big guy named Ryan, who got unceremoniously dumped last season and signed with New Orleans. So it's a little subplot going into that game there. But both of those defenses could be sneaky plays in what a lot of people are going to assume is going to be a very high-scoring game. A lot of people bailed on Baltimore's defense this year. Only 8 teams, however, have allowed fewer yards at home, and only Carolina is allowing fewer points at home. Andy Dalton has been on a bit of a hot streak. His last game wasn't too great, but he still makes a lot of mistakes, and I think that Baltimore could take advantage of that this week. Looking at a couple of the other quick games, Houston at Arizona, 6 games where Houston has allowed teams to pass for under 200 yards, and no 100-yard rushers against them this year. Arizona does not have a very good offense. And so Houston, if they're out there, definitely be a worthwhile play. Indianapolis at St. Louis. At the start of this year, I was very, very high on St. Louis. Then St. Louis's secondary came completely unraveled, and you started anyone you could against St. Louis. Over their last 3 games, St. Louis is leading the league, allowing only 145 yards passing per game. So obviously, Janoris Jenkins, Cortland Finnegan are on the right page now. Their pass rush is much improved. They're getting to the quarterback. And without Andrew Luck having Reggie Wayne to throw to as a safety valve, there's a chance for some takeaways there. And lastly, you got Tennessee facing Jacksonville. I don't think Tennessee is going to be a free agent in a lot of leagues. If not, they should be snatched up. Jacksonville is still Jacksonville. Chad Henne can't get anyone. They have no Justin Blackmon. They have no running game. I like Tennessee as a sneaky play at defense this week if they're still available in your league.
Well, Harley, you mentioned Arizona and their offense being pretty stagnant. Not a lot of fantasy productivity out of that offense. And it's a little surprising. I for one, thought Carson Palmer would at least be a viable option in many leagues this season. Hasn't really panned out that way. But they've got a running back out there by the name of Andre Ellington who seems to be climbing up the ladder pretty quickly. What are your thoughts on Ellington going forward in this season?
I love Andre Ellington. I just wish Bruce Arians loved Andre Ellington as much as I love Andre Ellington. Bruce Arians has gone on record as saying that Rashard Mendenhall is still his running back, and Andre Ellington is still the change of pace back. If you look at their difference in yards per carry, though, it should be completely 180. Because Andre Ellington, last week he ran for 154 yards on 15 carries. I'm fairly certain that Rashard Mendenhall has not seen 154 yards since 2008 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's combined yardage between rushing and receiving. Rashard Mendenhall has, for his career, he's always been a 3-yard per carry back, plodding, push it down the middle, get the yards and fall down tackles.
We're talking with Harley. I'm sorry, go ahead. Continue.
The offensive line in Arizona is perfectly designed to handle those 3 yards of carry for Rashard Mendenhall. They're not really designed to hold up to a guy who's going to try to break the ball to the outside. But when you've got a guy like Andre Ellington who can catch the ball effectively out of the backfield, who can make plays with his feet to the outside, it would only behoove Carson Palmer to start dumping the ball off to him and start handing it off to him and taking advantage of one of the few weapons they have there.
Harley, last question for you. Ryan last week, he joked that no injury will ever convince him ever again to bench Jimmy Graham. Do you have any reasons at all to be worried about his health?
Well, I'm always concerned about Graham's health because I'm a Graham owner in several leagues. Perhaps the biggest worry I have with Graham is after every touchdown he makes, he still likes to jump up and do the dunk over the goalpost thing. And
I was just noting that this week. Like, it's amazing to me that I can't even get anywhere near that with half a foot. Jimmy Graham's doing it with ease.
All I can picture, though, is every time he goes up, the only thing that pops in my mind is Kendrys Morales jumping on home plate after the walk-off grand slam and landing and breaking his leg. So I'm, like, just begging Jimmy Graham to consider not doing that anymore. I mean, take the touchdown.
Just Barry Sanders that thing, just hand it off.
Exactly. I'd be happy with that if I'm Jimmy Graham. Obviously, Sean Payton would be happy if I was giving it to him. Give him the touchdown. Give him the 6 points. Walk off the field. Be happy. One big thing I'm concerned about, though, is Jimmy Graham has had a history of showing up as questionable or probable or limited on the injury report. But at this point, considering what he's done the last 2 weeks, with a torn plantar fascia tendon in his foot, to go out there and score 4 touchdowns over 2 games, you're not taking him out of your lineup. There's absolutely no way to take him out of the lineup. I even posted something today on one of our websites. Unfortunately, a couple weeks ago, I went on Twitter on Sunday morning, and I was super concerned about Graham's status. I actually suggested to a couple people, go ahead and bench him. If you've got a better option, bench him. Fortunately, the better option in a couple of cases was Jordan Reed, who had a very, very good game in his place. But at the same time, what happens, Graham shows up, he catches 3 passes, and 2 of them are for touchdowns. I'm right there with you. I'm not going to bench Jimmy Graham. If he's wearing shoulder pads on Sunday, he is in my lineup.
Well, whenever he finally crumples to the ground, Kendrys Morales style, we know who to blame it on.
Exactly.
Catch his work on LeagueSafePost.com, TheHuddle.com, FantasyVictory.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, at New Clear Harley. He's Harley Schultz. Thanks so much for spending the time with us tonight, bud.
Certainly, Ryan.
Well, our thanks to Harley Schultz for jumping on the fantasy hot seat this week. I'm sure you guys needed all that info that Harley bestowed upon you. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter. Catch his work also on all the different websites. He's a busy man, that Harley Schultz.
Yeah, very busy, making us all a little bit smarter. Now, as we move on, we've done our locks, and now it's time to see who we're going to shut down this week in our Shut 'Em Down segment. Ryan, who's first up for you at quarterback?
This week, I'm shutting down Carson Palmer versus Houston.
Shut you down!
And look, let's face it, guys. Carson Palmer has not panned out to be what you thought he would be in this preseason. We really thought there was going to be a lot of garbage time and Palmer would start racking up a lot of the yardage, and that hasn't been the case. In fact, it's been far from stellar this season. Just one game over 300 yards. He's had multiple interceptions in all but 3 games this year, and now he gets the Houston defense that hasn't allowed a 300-yard game all season long and has kept opposing quarterbacks out of the end zone entirely 3 times this year. 3 times they were yet to give up a passing touchdown this season. It's hard to see Palmer having any semblance of a solid performance against that defense.
No, I think we both thought going into the season Palmer would have a much better season, like you had talked about earlier, and he hasn't been that. But then when the only thing that's working for Houston this season, because they have been hurt again and dreadful, the one thing that's working is the pass defense, so there's no reason. Even in bye week trouble, do not start Carson Palmer. For me, it's going to be, Ryan, we have had some hits and misses in the Shut 'Em Down segment when we've gone to the big names. You were knocked it out of the park last week, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But this week, I'm going to go with another big name because I don't think he's having a big week. It's Colin Kaepernick.
Shut you down!
Carolina's pass defense and defense as a whole is completely flying under the radar. I bet you didn't realize they're first against opposing quarterbacks in fantasy. Oh, and still 7th against the run. So if you're worried about Kaepernick's legs, I still think they can shut that part of his game down. Ryan told you last week to shut down Matty Ice because of this very same defense. And now, he threw 3 picks, Matt Ryan, last week. I just think that the same thing's going to happen. Colin Kaepernick has only thrown for over 200 yards 2 times this season. I just think this is the week to shut down Colin Kaepernick.
I got cute, shut down Colin Kaepernick 1 time.
It hurt, didn't it?
He threw 2 touchdowns, ran for 2 more.
Well, we'll see. I could be wrong. What do you think? I think you got burned. You got burned once, and you're not willing to go down that road again.
Fool me once, shame on.
Don't go down that road.
I don't want to George Bush that up. Let's move on to running back, and I'll go first because mine kind of ties in with you. I'm shutting down Frank Gore this week.
Shut you down!
And look, we talked about that defense, 7th overall against the rush, and it's a stout defense. Gore's been a workhorse all season, and I keep thinking like at any time, Harbaugh's got to either shut him down entirely or just really limit his touches and let Kendall Hunter and LaMichael James start kind of flexing their muscles, so to speak, over the last part of the season. But it hasn't happened. There hasn't been any drop-off in his touches. And in fact, Frank Gore has had double-digit points in all but one game this season, 6 straight weeks of double-digit points for you. But you know what? I think that streak ends in Carolina. As Cody mentioned, a very underrated D. Just 1 100-yard rushing game this season, and they've only allowed 2 rushing touchdowns by opposing running backs. I can see the Niners having to lean on their backfield in this one. As Cody mentioned, shut down Colin Kaepernick. Well, where's the productivity going to come from? It's going to come from the backfield, but I don't think Frank Gore is going to be the high-end producer you've come to expect week in and week out. It feels like one of those weeks where they're going to start flexing into some of those other running backs.
This very easily could be a low-scoring game. You better have a better option. I'm scared to shut down Frank Gore yet. It's like, oh, he's been so good. It was like owning Frank Gore 5 years ago. It's been that good. And so I'm scared to do it. Ryan says shut him down. I'm on the fence, but we'll see next week as the time goes.
I've got large huevos. Cody, that's what it is.
I like it. I've got small huevos, so I'm shutting down Ben Tate.
Shut you down!
I know bye weeks and Foster's hurt, and maybe this isn't a guy you had on the list anyway, but another underrated defense, Arizona. The only 2 running backs to get 100 yards against the Cardinals this season were Frank Gore, who's looked great all season, and Marshawn Lynch, who looks great all the time. So, I mean, you have to understand they're allowing less than 4.5 points per game against running backs compared to the NFL average. 4.5 less points a game. I mean, it's just this team in Arizona, they can stop the run. I do not expect much out of this Houston-Arizona game offensively at all. I'm going to shut down Ben Tate.
In the last 90 seconds, you have admitted to having small testicles and that you think Marshawn Lynch
looks good.
Always looks good.
Doesn't he, though?
I guess. Whatever. You got to like a man with dreadlocks, I guess. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's fine.
Is that what gets your loins a titter? Ugh. Let's move on to wide receiver. Who do you got? Who are you shutting down, Cody?
Harry Douglas.
Shut you down!
And listen, I was the Harry Douglas fan, right? I had to convince you. And for the first 2 weeks, I looked so smart. Last week, not so smart. Now, I didn't have him in the stardom segment. I thought he'd struggle. But I think he will continue to be fantasy relevant this season. I think he can play. I just think this week... not great. He's facing the number 1 ranked defense against quarterbacks, which is awfully hard to get it to it. And Matt Ryan's coming off another bad week, and he gets to draw Sherman. I mean, do you really want Harry Douglas, a guy who's a mid-talented wide receiver, having to go and get open against Sherman? There is no way. And I happen to think that they're going to go back to the run. Seattle's run defense has been derailed lately. Atlanta should recognize that. Pound the rock. Stop going to the wideout, and Harry Douglas is a sit.
I'm not going to get on the Harry Douglas bandwagon, Cody. You're not going to convince me because I think his success is all wide receiver success is tied to the quarterback,
sure.
But his success in particular is tied to Matt Ryan having a huge day. If Matt Ryan's not going to have that huge day, Harry Douglas isn't going to have that huge day. I'm not buying it, man. I'm shutting down at wide receiver this week, though, and we talked about it a little bit with our man Harley, Cecil Shorts.
Shut you down!
Now, he gets Tennessee this week. Third best defense against wide receivers.
Shorts is good.
Shorts has been a surprise for most owners, and he's been the only real bright spot in Jacksonville. Now Justin Blackmon is suspended, and they have to face that stiff Titans defense. Tennessee hasn't allowed a touchdown to a wide receiver since week 2. Try that on for size, Cody. Just 2 TDs all season long to wideouts. It's hard to ever trust any Jags player, but I definitely do not trust Cecil Shorts this week.
Get him out of your lineup. Harley just laughed when I said, will he have fantasy relevance? No.
Silly man.
Shutting down for tight end this week, Ryan. Who you got?
I'm shutting down Greg Olsen.
Shut you down!
And he's facing off against San Fran, the 4th best defense against tight ends. And San Francisco, they've only given up 60 or more yards to a tight end just once all year. They've held opposing tight ends to 3 catches or less 4 times this season. They're good, okay? And I know Olsen has found the end zone in back-to-back weeks, and I know that he's been pretty productive this fantasy season. Cam Newton's finally looking like he's starting to turn the corner. All these shining endorsements you could give Greg Olsen. Guess what? Nah, the fun train stops here, and it stops in San Francisco.
Great minds think alike. Shut down Greg Olsen. That one game Ryan's talking about over 60 yards, it's not like someone went for a buck 20. 75 yards. That is top tight end output this season against the 49ers, and just two tight ends. Greg Olsen's a safe bet to shut down. I mean, unless you're feeling... You got to be desperate. Please don't.
You got to have bigger than Cody Wavos, that's for sure. That is faux show. Well, get those people out of your lineup, guys. That's our shut them downs for this week. But Cody, shutting those people down makes me a little sleepy. You know what time it is, right? It's nap time. Let's check out who's sleeping. And I usually start out this segment, Cody, so I'm going to let you go. Who you got sleeping?
We talked about it a little bit with Harley. It's James Jones. In his return last week, he only had one catch for 7 yards. And I think part of that was just the derailment of the offense and the absolute, well, not the derailment, like Aaron Rodgers went down and they're like, well, the only thing we can do is run it. So they just kept giving it to Eddie Lacy and it was working. And so they didn't look to the wide receivers. But I think that when Seneca has another week with the first team, they will give him some more reps. And James Jones, when healthy, has looked good. I think he could sneak up on people this week.
I like James Jones. As a matter of fact, I like those Packers wide receivers still. It's a very talented group, and they're underrated. But at the same time, you really have to raise an eyebrow when you go from having Aaron Rodgers to Seneca Wallace throwing you the ball. This week, a guy that I think is sleeping, I think it's Sean Green, man. Look, Coach Mike Munchak said he wanted to get him 15 touches a game moving forward, and that was last week. Now,
Chris Johnson was good to it last week.
Turns out that old CJ0K comes back and looks like maybe CJ1K. I'm not going to elevate him to 2K status. But he turned it on, man. And Sean Green only got 9 touches out of it. But he did get a touchdown out of it. And you got to give him credit for that. That inside the goal line rush is where Sean Green's going to make hay. And regardless of how bad the Titans are, the Jags are worse, man. I think he'll get his 15 touches in this one, and I think he should be able to turn that into a double-digit fantasy performance.
You can make a living in fantasy football starting the guy that leeches touchdowns. Mike Tolbert's been really good this season because of that, and for the same reasons right now, you have to think about Sean Green because he's getting everything near the goal line.
Well, those are our sleepers for the week, and you know what time it is, Cody. Time for us to do a little gloating, man. Look, we do this segment every week. We call it "I Told You So," and we've had some duds. We've had some duds in our shut them downs. Usually we're pretty good on our locks. This last week we blew the effing doors off this thing. All right, if you listened to us last week, if you did one of those single week type deals, if you do any of those single week fantasy, oh my God, you would have won some money, Cody. I got a couple, so I'm going to let you go first. What do you got?
I might have suggested, despite the fact this gentleman had not been in the end zone in the entire season and the second string quarterback was throwing to him, I told you to start Andre Johnson. He didn't have a good week, did he?
Nah. Oh, wait. Yeah, he did.
9 catches, 229 yards, 3 touchdowns. That's not a good week. That's a fucking great week. That is blowing the roof off. He had that nearly in the first half. And I went out on a limb on a guy because I said, you can't hold Andre Johnson down for a whole season. Injured, backup quarterback, whatever. Eventually, this guy is going to find the end zone. And he just waited to find it times 3 in one game.
It was pretty. It was pretty. You know, it was even prettier. Shutting down Matt Ryan, man. Look, I warned you. I tried to tell you. I warned you that the Carolina defense was stout. I told you that they'd only given up one 300-yard game to a QB this season. I told you they hadn't given up multiple scores in a single game. The Falcons' passing game is just not the same with at least one of their studs being healthy. Back-to-back single-digit performances from the Atlanta signal caller. Just six points, Cody, in this last game for Matt Ryan. That's ugly, man. Until Roddy White can get back on the field, Matt Ryan, he's going to be a matchup start in my book. And, by the way, the Seahawks. They get the Seahawks this week. And the Legion of Boom. That's going to suck again.
Ouch.
3 straight weeks is what I'm predicting for Matt Ryan to be under double digits. I'm surprised neither one of us sat him.
Well, I sat Harry Douglas for the same reasons. I went for the risk in Colin Kaepernick.
And hey, while I'm at it, last week on the podcast, you know, it's audio, it's up there. You can go check it out. I called for a season high in carries from Alfred Morris. Not only did he do that, he set a season high in carries. He also set a season high in yards. So, yeah, there's that.
So we might not actually be idiots. If you're listening to this, you're like, these guys don't know anything. We might actually kind of do. We actually do research for this and watch football and look at numbers, and it makes sense. And Ryan and I both have fantasy championships. It's not coincidence. When we like to do this segment, I told you so. Because listen, I get stuff wrong too. It's impossible to be perfect on this, but you might want to listen to us.
Occasionally we are right. I'm not yet to cast the idiot stone off of my shoulders yet. I'm an idiot sometimes in the rest of my life, but when it comes to fantasy football, I'm a genius. That's the way it goes. All right, guys, well, that's going to do it for the podcast this week. Thank you so much for Harley Schultz of LeagueSafePost.com. You can also catch his work on TheHuddle.com, FantasyVictory.com as well. Give him a follow on Twitter, @NuclearHarley. Hey, while you're on the Twitter, you can go ahead and give us a follow while you're at it, I guess. I'm at RDub45. Cody's at CodyBTap. You can follow the Fantastic Two at Fantastic2FF. Reach out to us on Gmail, Fantastic2FF@gmail.com. Cody?
Until next time.
So long. Now show them them titties.